Mark chapter 9, verses 2 to 9. 6 days later, Jesus took him, Peter and James and John, and led them up to a high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice. "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen, until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Alison. Well, let's pray as we take a look into this scripture together. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are present in our lives, that you are speaking to us through the word. And we pray, Lord, prepare us well to enter into the season of Lent together. Amen. Well, on Wednesday, it's Ash Wednesday, and that means we are at the beginning of Lent. And Lent's a season that is basically a journey, isn't it? It's a journey that takes us to Holy Week, a journey that takes us to the cross, a journey that ultimately takes us to Easter. And this season always begins in the set lectionary readings that we often use with the passage you just heard Alison read, the Transfiguration. Because this is the moment when Jesus begins his final journey to the cross. The whole narrative of the Gospels beyond this point is a one-way trip to Jerusalem, to death, and to resurrection. And it's far more than just being a marker on the journey or a sort of, you know, little sort of turning point in the story. It's actually a pivotal moment where God resources and transforms Jesus so that he is empowered to die for the sins of the whole world and to change the course of human history forever. And Lent for us is a season of transfiguration, or transformation might be a better way to express it. It is a season where we have the blessing of being able to live out the results of the cross. We get to live out the forgiveness, the power to change for the better, and the power to know God freely and deeply in our lives. Lent's a season where we intentionally invite Jesus in to do the deeper work of redemption, that work of change in us. It's a penitential season where we are called by God to acknowledge our faults, our flaws, and our failings, and to ask Jesus to actively make a difference in these areas. So let's have a look then at these words from Mark's Gospel and see how they too prepare us for this season of Lent. So verse 2, 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves. So a couple of significant things in just that one verse. The first, and perhaps the biggest, most obvious bit, is the mountain. So mountains in the Bible are often associated with meeting God, of significant encounter. Think Moses and Ten Commandments, that sort of thing. And more than that, Jesus is intentionally putting himself with Peter, James, and John in a place to seek out God's presence. There's a conscious choice to do that. It's not, God doesn't just sort of transfigure Jesus after he's had his cornflakes. There's a conscious seeking out by Jesus to go and find somewhere where he knows the Father will be present. And in this sort of thin place, if you like, where the gap between earth and heaven is small, that's the place in which Jesus is transfigured, in which he's changed, in which he's transformed. And we get this dazzling white glow where everything about the guy just glows as he's filled with the glory of God. And then he gets a pep talk with Moses and Elijah, these heroes of the Jewish faith, the greatest figures of their time. And it's clearly a very overwhelming experience. I always love the fact that the disciples want to stay in that place. And in one sense, you go, who could blame them? I mean, the full glory of God on display has a very attractive quality. I think if any of us were in that place, we too might think that staying there was a great idea. But staying for Jesus is not an option, because the equipping is for a purpose. And that purpose lays down the mountain. And just as things couldn't get any more intense in this encounter, it is rounded out by the voice of God himself, speaking words of affirmation over Jesus. This is my son, the beloved, listen to him. And this verse, again, is so key, because it's important to remember that the final part of equipping Jesus for the cross is not a strategy. It's not a strap line, it's not a three-point plan, it's not a smart objective, but it's a reminder that he's loved. And that it's the depth of the Father's love that is sufficient for Jesus to do all things. And it's the root motivation for Jesus to take on the sin of the world and to do all the stuff that he does, is that he is loved. And it's true for us, isn't it? Because we change, we grow, we serve not to better ourselves in some sort of self-help plan, but as a response to God's love of us. It's God's love that sends Jesus back down the mountain and on to Jerusalem. It's God's love that sends us into the journey of Lent, that journey of responding to him by inviting him in to do transformational work in each of us. Because whether we like it or not, sin impacts us all. There is not a person watching or listening to this that is not a work in progress. I include myself at the top of that list. God loves us exactly as we are, but that doesn't mean he wants us to stay there. There is always room to grow, room to be transformed when our target is to live like Jesus did. And I want to encourage us this year to see Lent as a mountaintop season, a season where we're going to mimic what Jesus did. We're going to intentionally put ourselves in the place of meeting with God so that we might encounter him and his great love for us. And the practice of taking things up or working on a spiritual discipline functions as that mountaintop place for us. And the whole point of taking something on or giving something up or a combination of the two, I think, is again really twofold. The first is that by engaging in a spiritual discipline, you are intentionally trying to put yourself in that thin place, a space where you can more easily meet with God. And a good spiritual discipline is kind of set up to do that by its very nature. So they put you in that place of meeting with God. But secondly, the discipline is also the refining and transforming process as well. It's like being a gemstone put in a rock tumbler to have those corners ground down. Daily prayer, daily Bible reading, studying with others, they help us to meet with God, but they're also the place in which God works through us and works in us through them. For example, if you read the Bible every day, it's a place that, yeah, you're likely to hear God speaking to you, and you try and notice what stands out and pray about what that means. But it's the act of the repetition means that you might hear the same things over and over and over, because it's the daily part in which God works, rather than just a one-off hit on a Sunday. It's the daily exposure where we start to notice the patterns or themes emerging of what God might be saying to us in a whole host of different ways. As I say, the point of every discipline is to put us in the place of meeting with God so that we too will hear that affirming voice. It is his love through the Holy Spirit living in us that does the transformation. It's very little to do with our effort in one sense. And it's the love of a heavenly Father who wants the best for each of us and doesn't want us to be stuck in our own sin. So how do you choose? If you're looking at Lent and thinking, okay, well, what could I do to kind of put myself in this mountaintop place? Well, here's a few, I hope, practical guidelines. The first is start with the basics. If you don't have daily prayer and daily scripture, daily Bible reading and weekly worship going on in your life, then that is the place to start, because those are the bedrock of all things being a disciple. It's like the piano player learning to play their scales. Those are the things to make sure we've got in first. And then once we've got that kind of layer, and that might be the layer that we need to start at, and that's great, go for it. Then get specific. Choose a discipline that is going to help address an area that you'd like to see Jesus change. For example, let's say you're too busy and you never have enough time to do these things. Well, then you need to perhaps think about choosing to take up Sabbath and learning to slow down and make space. Let's say you're addicted to your phone or technology or scrolling, whatever it might be. Try fasting that. Start maybe with an hour or two each day, or giving up social media for Lent. Maybe there's an area of your life that you struggle with, a behaviour or a trait. Maybe the thing to do is to bring that to Jesus in prayer each day. To say to Jesus, look, this is where I am. Would you help me, Lord, to move forwards? And there's lots of different options of things we might take up. We might study, we might fast, we might seek simplicity or solitude, acts of service, confession, submission. The list goes on and on, but be specific. Choose the one that is going to be helpful, that puts you in that place with God, but also does allows God to do the refining work through it. So first, be specific. And then here's my second, and I think the one I've learned the hard way. Be realistic. If you start off with wildly grand plans of getting up to pray for hours and hours every day at 5 a.m. or cold turkey giving up Facebook or WhatsApp, often what happens is that we quickly fizzle out. And then worse than that is that 3 or 4 days in, we feel like this hideous failure and we give up. And we think, do you know what? I've tried. I'm just not going to bother this season. To avoid that, work out what is a sensible step for you to take. Now, don't make it too easy, because it should feel a little bit uncomfortable. It should feel a bit of a challenge, because change, let's face it, often does. But it is better to read the Bible for 10 minutes each day than for an hour twice and then stopping and not reading it again till after Easter. Jesus is in it for the long haul with us, and he wants us to build up these habits so that they become a daily part, a regular part of our lives. And that takes us time to do. And it's important to acknowledge that, to go, if we want to establish these things, we need to take the right next step and then allow Jesus to work in it. So I invite you in this next couple of days as we head towards Ash Wednesday to think about, what is Lent going to look like for you? What you're going to choose, how that's going to help you to lead you into that mountain place, that's going to help you to be in that place of meeting with God, and how you might look forward to that loving encounter you're going to find there, and choose a spiritual discipline that's going to help you perhaps allow God to work on some area of your life, that transformation might be something you see. Let's pray.